You ever heard about the little boy who attended church for the first time? And he was asked afterwards how it went. He said, "The music was nice, but the commercial was awfully long." Well, let's start the commercial. We've been in a series called 2020 Vision. Now, 2020 Vision has to do with not the year that we're in, but has to do with seeing clearly as God wants us to see. We've been in this series looking at power to live on that we need, people to live with, principles to live by, and a plan to live out. Today we're going to look at a purpose to live for. I'm talking about your life mission. Everyone's life is very unique. What God has put you on earth to do is like no one else's. Only you can fulfill your God-given mission. Did you get that? Only you can fulfill your God-given mission. The moment you become a believer, the moment you step across the line and give your life to Jesus Christ, God has an assignment for you, and that's called your life mission. Many of the parts of your life mission are very unique. And there's one part of your life mission that we all have in common, and it's this. God wants you and me to tell other people about what's happened to us, what God has done in us, to share our testimony, our lifestyle, our witness, to share the good news. The Bible says it like this in Acts 20:24, "The most complete thing is that I complete my life mission, the work that God, that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace." Once I know Jesus Christ, part of my life mission, not all of it, but a major part of it, is to tell other people how I became a part of God's family. My mission is to invite other people into God's family. Dear Father, as we look to your word, and as we consider this very important mission that you have given each one of us who knows Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we, Lord, will take it very seriously and depend upon you to enable us to do that what you want us to do in the way you want us to do it and with the people you want us to do it for. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said in John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." What does he send us to do? The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in every part of the world." This is a key verse. It's very important. In fact, the church was founded on this passage. This not only tells us what we're supposed to do, it tells us where we're supposed to do it. First of all, it says, "You will be my witnesses." You will be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? Now, have any of you ever watched Judge Judy or a John Gresham movie, or for the old folks here, Perry Mason? You know what a witness is. A witness is someone who shares from personal experience. "I saw this. I heard that. I watched that." For a follower of Jesus Christ, witnessing is simply sharing what God is doing in my life. It's not being a theological expert. It's not being a pastor or a preacher. It's simply sharing what God has done in my life. God wants you to be a witness. Some people think that's just for missionaries or preachers or pastors. We are all supposed to tell other people about what God has done for us. Actually, you are potentially a far more effective witness than I am. People expect me to talk about Jesus. They think, yeah, you're just a paid professional. You're the salesman. We expect you to talk about God. That's why I don't usually tell strangers that I meet what I do for a living. When a stranger finds out that I'm a pastor, the wall goes up and the pretense comes on. On the other hand, when you talk about what God has done in your life, you're a satisfied customer. Who has more credibility, a paid salesman or a satisfied customer? People out in the world will listen to you more than they will listen to me. You are the authority on your life. Nobody else can share your witness. If you don't do it, that's the part of your life message that God has for you that will never, ever be heard on earth if you don't share it. That's a tragedy. If you don't say it, nobody else is going to say it for you. Witnessing is sharing with others what God has done in your life. And what's happened to you since that time? So where are we to do it? Well, this passage of Scripture says four places. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world. What does that mean? Am I supposed to get on a plane and go over to Jerusalem to share my faith? No. Remember that when the disciples were hearing these words from Jesus, where were they? They were in Jerusalem. And that's the point. Start where you are. What's your Jerusalem? It's your family, your friends, your coworkers, your fellow students, your neighbors. That's your Jerusalem. Start with people that are closest to you. Start where you are. You don't have to go somewhere else. Start with the people in your own sphere of influence. When it says go to Judea, Judea was kind of like the county. What's your Judea? Oh, Waupaca County, or for those of you who live in Wild Rose, it's... Washara County, and where some of you live west of here in Portage County. That's your Judea. Is there anyone in your county that needs to hear the good news? You bet there is. Then it says go to Samaria. That's like people that come from another country. Samaritans were culturally and ethnically different. So the third place is people of a different culture, a different language, a different ethnic group than you. You know that anybody who comes from a different culture than you and speaks a different first language is in this category. You don't have to go very far to your Samaria. Some of them might even live in your neighborhood. Then it says, go to the ends of the earth. Now, for a long time, Christians couldn't do that literally because there wasn't transportation, there wasn't roads, if somebody was to go overseas. It was a major commitment that usually took years of their life. But today, going to the ends of the earth is a legitimate opportunity. There's all kinds of opportunity for us to do there. You could go on a short-term missions trip. Just about anybody can do that if they're willing to. I'd like to see that each of you experience each of these four places at least once in your life. You can easily be in the first three. But today, you can get to foreign countries quicker than you can drive to Florida. You can get to Tokyo in 12 hours or so. Some countries are actually closer than going to cities like St. Louis. This is a real possibility. It takes 3 hours or less to fly to Mexico. With the internet, you can go all around the world from your living room, and you can share your faith. So what's my mission? My mission is to invite other people into God's family. So what am I to share? What am I to share? Here's your message in two words. Good news. Good news. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. Mark 16:15 says, proclaim the good news to everyone, everywhere. You like to get good news? Everybody does, especially with what we're going through now. Do you like to share the good news? Most people like to share it, yeah. That's true. It's fun sharing good news. I know what you're thinking. The people I work with and my friends, they're not really interested in the good news. You're dead wrong. They might not be interested in religion, but they're interested in good news, and even the good news. The problem is not that your friends and coworkers aren't interested. The problem is you and me. The problem, we have forgotten how good the good news really is. Once you've been a Christian for a while, you forget how miserable it was to live without any hope. You forget what it was like to worry about where you were going when you would die. You forget about what it's like to live without purpose, to have guilt and fear and regrets and bitterness in your life before Jesus Christ brought meaning and significance and purpose. What happens is the longer that we are Christians, we forget sometimes how good the good news really is. Now, if you just talk with people on the street and you ask the question, how do you get to God to like you? A high percentage, the vast majority of people will say something like this. You've got to work real hard to get God's approval, and then you've got to be really, really good. You've got to keep a lot of rules and probably follow a lot of regulations and do some rituals. You've got to be a religious person. I'm none of those things, so I'm never going to please God, and therefore I'm not going to get to know God. Most people think it's really hard to get to know God. But the good news is it's not. It's not hard to get to know God. The good news is you get right with God and you get to know God, not through rules or regulations or rituals or religion, but through a relationship that is simply based on trusting. It's just trusting, just believing, having faith in what Romans 1:17 tells us. The good news shows how God makes people right with himself, that it begins and ends with faith. As the scripture says, those who are right with God will live by trusting him. Not being perfect, not never sinning, not by keeping rituals, but by trusting in Jesus. That is good news. That's so simple, nobody could say it's too hard to grasp. Trust Christ and his forgiveness paid for you with his blood on the cross and his arising from the dead. When I trust my life to Jesus Christ, there are three fantastic benefits that come to my life. And I know that many of you know that we need to share this with other people. When you tell people what it means to be a believer, tell them he does three things for them. It might be that for someone here today, you're hearing this for the first time. Or maybe you've heard it before, but you're getting it for the first time. When you trust Jesus Christ with your life, three wonderful things happen. He takes care of your past, your present, and your future. First of all, forgiveness for my past. That's the first benefit. If we were to take everything you've ever said or done or thought and make a video of it and show it publicly, we'd all be embarrassed. I know I would. None of us bats 1,000. Nobody is perfect. Every one of us has made mistakes. Everyone has blown it. Every one of us has skeletons in the closet. Things that we wish had never happened. Thoughts we wish we had never thought. Things we wish we had never said. God says, when you trust Jesus Christ with your life, I take that video and I burn it. I take everything you've ever done and I wipe the slate clean and the screens are erased. It's a blank screen and it's starting over with a brand new life. Is that not good news? I know a lot of people walking around in depression with regrets and guilt and shame in their life. And even if there were no such thing as heaven, it would be worth it just to have a clear conscience. But I get forgiveness for my past is the first thing. He takes care of the present. And he gives me, secondly, a purpose for living. A purpose for living right now in the present. God has created you for a purpose. You are not an accident. You're not here just to take up space. But you're never going to know God's perfect purpose for your life until first you get to know God. If you're trying to discover why you're here, where you came from, and where you're going, none of that is going to make sense until you get to know God personally. When you get to know God, you're going to know who you are. When you figure out God, you're going to figure out yourself because God made you. And God made you for a purpose. I hear of people all the time saying, well, I'm just trying to find myself. Probably aren't going to like yourself very much if you find yourself. They say, there's something missing in my life. I know what that is. God's missing. You weren't made to live and go through life just on your own power. Until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, life isn't going to make much sense. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, I came so that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He didn't say, I've come so that you might have religion. He said, I've come so that you might really live. Why is that? Because you're not living, really living, until you know God personally. You're not living until you know the purpose he made you for. Until you begin to fulfill it, you are just existing. You get up in the morning, you eat breakfast, you get dressed, you go to work or you go to class, you come home from work or class, you watch TV, then you go to bed, or you do your homework if you're in class. You repeat that over and over and over again. Maybe you relax on the weekends or you go on a vacation and you say, now this is really living. No, it's not. You're just existing. You were meant for far more than just a job and making money. God has a mission and a purpose for your life, but you'll never know it until you get to know Jesus Christ. The third thing is heaven for my future. Forgiveness for my past, a purpose for the present, and heaven for my future, a home in heaven. Call it God's retirement plan, but it's more than that because you're not going to retire in heaven. He will always have great things for us to do, things that are far beyond our imagination. So God says, I'll give you a home in heaven. Now, most people hope they're going to heaven, but they really aren't sure. Wishful thinking isn't good enough. This is too important to not know. You need to know this for sure. You just kind of sort of hope you're going. Most people think that the way to get to heaven is by being good enough. There's a gravestone in the cemetery across the street from us that says, I saw this and I couldn't believe it. All it takes is to live a good life. All it takes is to live a good life. If you do more good in your life than bad, maybe God will grade on the curve. Wrong answer. It isn't going to work that way at all. You're never going to get into heaven on your own power because you are not good enough and neither am I. The Bible says that heaven is a perfect place. There's no sorrow in heaven, no suffering in heaven, no sin, no evil, nothing bad in heaven. It's perfect. That means only perfect people get to go there. If he let imperfect people into heaven, it wouldn't be perfect, and it wouldn't be heaven. And that leaves me out, and it leaves you out too. There's not a snowball's chance in a hot place we're going to make it to heaven on our own efforts. Don't even try. You're not going to heaven on your own efforts. There's only one way you could get into heaven or I can get into heaven, and that's on someone else's ticket. God came to earth in human form. That was Jesus Christ. God became a human being and lived a life of perfection. He showed us how to live. He died on the cross and he paid for our sins and then arose from the dead and went back into heaven. And now you can get into heaven on his ticket if you trust him. Romans 6:23 assures us God's free gift is eternal life through Jesus. If you have the insert on bulletin insert, circle, free gift. Free gift. It's a gift. G-I-F-T. That means you can't earn it, you can't work for it, you can't deserve it in any way. It's a free gift. Think about these three things. God says, you get to know me just by faith. If you trust in my son, with your life. And therefore you get, number one, forgiveness of your past, a purpose for living in the present, and thirdly, a home in heaven in the future. Is that good news? For sure. You think anyone would, you know, would be even the slightest interested in that? Do you think it would benefit them if you explained it to them like I explained it to you? Satan may have fooled you. You may think that your friends or the people you work with or go to class with are not really interested in hearing the good news. You're dead wrong. The world is hungry for good news. Not for religion, but for God's good news through Jesus Christ. They're looking for it. There's a spiritual hunger. Listen, good news keeps sounding better and better because the bad news of the world just keeps getting worse and worse. Just listen to today's media, or better yet, don't. Now, why should I share the good news? Why should I care about the people around me enough to tell them how to get into heaven? Well, thirdly, my motive is love. My motive is love. The motive for your mission is love for Jesus and love for other people. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us. It motivates us. Everyone matters to God. God has never made a person that he didn't love. God made some people I don't like and that you don't like, but God loves them. The most despicable person you can imagine, God still loves. If you're here on earth, that means God loves you. He made you. That means we must care because God cares. As you express love for people, it builds bridges and opens doors to share the good news." Jane Roe of the famous abortion case, Roe versus Wade, was a test case. A few years later, she became a believer in Jesus Christ. And as she told her story, you see how her heart had been softened, and she'd become a warm, caring, loving individual through personal faith in Jesus Christ. The one person who showed her attention and love and shared God's good news with Norma McCorvey, that's her real name, did what all the protests in the world had failed to do, and that was to change her mind and change her heart. You don't change people by protests. You change them by love, one life at a time. That's the only way you can change society, one life at a time. God has put people in your life specifically that he wants you to share the good news with. You are the only real Christ follower that some people know. You ever think about that? As one has put it, you may be the only Bible that some people have ever read. If you don't share your story and God's good news, who's going to do it? Am I responsible for that person? I don't know them. Is that person that's sitting three seats down from you responsible? No, you are. God holds each of us responsible for the people he's put in our lives. People like family and friends and relatives and contacts, neighbors, people you work with or go to class with or come in contact with in the store. You say, you know, I'm kind of afraid. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8 says in the Living Bible paraphrase, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. If you will stir up this inner power, you will never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. It says the antidote to fear is love. The antidote to fear is love. The reason we don't share the good news is because we don't love people enough. We don't love them enough to want to tell them how to escape hell and get into heaven. If we love them enough, we'd want to tell them the good news. If I see a building burning down, and I know that one of my kids is in that burning building, I don't care how big the flames are, I'm going in after them. I don't care if I get hurt or not. I don't care what other people say. I'm going in. They might say, you're crazy. I'm still going in. I grab my child and I bring them out. I might be singed and burned. Then people would say, you are brave. No, I wasn't brave or courageous or crazy. It was love that motivated me. And because I love that person enough, I'm going to go in and I'm going to save them from the flames that are destroying them. When you finally love your friends or your neighbors or your coworkers enough, you will tell them about Jesus. When you finally love your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles who don't know Christ, when you finally love them enough, you're going to have the courage to tell them the good news. It's not like you're trying to give them cancer. It's not like you're trying to tell them or sell them swampland in Florida or get them involved in some racket or scheme or con game. You're telling them the greatest news in the world. Forgiveness of the past, power and purpose in the present, and a home in heaven for the future. You can't get that deal anywhere else but from Jesus Christ. I challenge you to get serious about sharing the good news with the people that God has put in your life. Let me ask you a question in closing. Is anyone going to heaven because of you? Is anyone going to heaven because of you and your love for them and what you have shared with them? Dear Father, I pray that you will help us to realize that we have the greatest news that anyone can ever hear. And that, dear Father, we will have the courage to share with them what it is that you want to do for them and what you have done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.